We thank all the reporters, journalists, photographers, camera persons, individuals, groups, companies, everywhere in the world, for all your contributions of news that bring hope to humans and animals, thus uplifting the atmosphere of our planet. May heaven bless your noble endeavors and protect you always, especially while on duty.
Fortunate are we to be co-inhabitants with the amazing animals that grace and color our planet.
In countless ways, they add beauty and joy to our lives.
Their nobility, through unconditional love, loyalty, and heroic life-saving actions, is a constant source of wonder and inspiration.
What would our world be like without our fun and intelligent animal friends?
We simply could not imagine it.
Thanks be to the Providence for all the cherished animals.
May we always honor their God-given precious lives
as we honor a part of ourselves.
Gracious viewers, and welcome to Noteworthy News, constructive news for a better world.
Constructive news for a peaceful world. For satellite coverage 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, please join us. In Europe, Eurobird 1 at 28.5 degrees east, Astra 1 and Hotbird 6. In England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, Sky TV channel 835. Australia and New Zealand, Optus D2. Africa, Intelsat 10KU band and Intelsat 10C band. The Middle East and Northern Africa, Eurobird 2 and Hotbird 6. Asia, Intelsat 10 C-band, ABS, AsiaSat 5 and AsiaSat 3S. North America, Galaxy 19. Central and South America, Hispasat 1C and Intelsat 805.
In addition, Supreme Master Television is available on the following 93 cable and IPTV networks, as well as 18 online video channels of live streaming and on-demand programs.
In Cameroon, in Bamenda, Channel 26 on Cameroon Cable Network Plus. In Limbe and Environ, Channel 40 on CietSat. In Douala, Channel 56 on Vision Cable TV. In Buea, Channel 57 on Medium Network Service or MNS. In Kumba, Channel 23 on Ciet Kumba. In Bafut, Channel 1 on Besikan Bafut. In Bafusam, Channel 30 on Blondel Sat. And in Adea, Channel 37 on Etablissement Acerna.
In Brazil, in São Gonçalo, Rio de Janeiro, Channel 37 on TV Costa Verde. In Chile, in Santiago, Channel 33 on Puente Alto TV and Channel 6 on Quilicura TV. In Provincia de Cordillera, Channel 35 on Provincia de Cordillera TV. And in Provincia de Linares, Channel 2 on Retiro TV.
In Colombia, in Guarenda Sucre, Channel 28 on Guarenda TV. In Guachetá, Cundinamarca, Channel 33 on Guachetá TV. In Ubaté, Cundinamarca, Channel 38 on Cableva TV.
In Bogotá, in Villa Mayor, in Aledaños, Channel 44 on Villa Vision de Villa Mayor. In Ciudadela, Ciudad Tunal, Channel 31 on Aso Parabórica, Tunal Cable Company. In Localidad Encantiva, Upaceta, Boyaca Real, Las Ferias, and Santa Cecilia, Channel 43 on Tele Boyaca Real Cable Company. In Channel 62 on Tele Morisco Cable Company. In Candelaria, Nanueva, San Francisco, and Arborizadora, Channel 46 on TV Candelaria Cable Company. In Localidad 9, Chapinero Kilometro 5.5 La Calera, Channel 51 on Cima TV Cable Company. In Localidad Fontibón and Localidad Barrios Unidos, Channel 41 on Teleunidos. In Kennedy, Channel 55 on Litemar. In Zona 10, Channel 52 on Tele 10. In Nuevo Kennedy, 1, 2, and 3, Paraíso Casablanca, 32 and 33, Urbanización, 25, 26, and 27, Channel 43 on Pacanuc. In Zona 10, Encantiva, 10 Barrios, Channel 29 on Tele Reliquia. In Ciudad Bolivar, Channel 73 on ATV La Estancia. In Alamos Norte, Channel 68 on TV Alamos. In Achi Bolivar, Channel 29 on Achi TV. In Mahagual Sucre, Channel 32 on Mahagual TV. And in Sucre, Sucre, Channel 31 on Sucre TV.
In Costa Rica, in Tilarán, Nuevo Arenal and La Fortuna de San Carlos, Channel 20 on Cable Arenal del Lago S.A. In Puriscal, Mora and Acosta, Channel 78 on Cablevisión de Occidente. And in Puerto Jiménez, Channel 35 on Cable Corcovado.
In the Dominican Republic, in Tereo El Rio and Las Palmas, Channel 81 on División Visión. In Constanza, Channel 81 on Telecable Mi Cabaña. In Provincia María Trinidad Sánchez, Channel 85 on TDN. In Distrito Nacional and Provincia Santo Domingo, Channel 88 Analog System and Channel 288 Digital System on Éxito Visión. In Las Matas de Farfán, Channel 31 on Matos Aguas Vivas Televisión. And in Santo Domingo Norte, Distrito Nacional, and Santo Domingo Oeste, Channel 46 on Telecable Dominicano. In Provincia de Higüey, Channel 30 on TV Arcoiris. In Sabana de la Mar, Channel 72 on Jorotel. In Monte Plata Province, Channel 25 on Cablevisión Yamasá. In San Cristobal Province, Channel 75 on Crispel Cablevisión. And in Puerto Plata Province, Channel 29 on Telecable La Unión S.A.
In Paraguay, in Miami, Channel 24 on Video Cable. In Encarnación, Channel 3 on Itaqua Cablevisión. In Santa Rosa del Aguaray, Channel 21 on Cablevisión. In Chore, Channel 27 on Chore Video Cable. In Santaní, Channel 30 on Tapiracuay Cable Company. In Asunción, Channel 70 on TIT Cable TV. In Mingaguazú, Channel 44 on TV Cable Mingaguazú. In Hernandarias, Channel 41 on TV Cable Hernandarias. And in Ciudad del Este, Channel 66 on TV Cable Paraná.
In Formosa or Taiwan, on Channel 85 on Multimedia On Demand of Zhonghua Telecom. On Green Island, Channel 61 on Huanyu Cable. In Taipei City, Channel 112 on NetWave Cable TV. In Taipei County, Channel 95 on Mangrove Cable TV, Yongjiale Cable TV, and Global View Cable TV. In Kaohsiung County, Channel 95 on Phoenix Cable TV. In Yilan County, Channel 95 on Union Cable TV. In Hualien County, Channel 106 on Dongya Cable TV and Hualien Cable TV. In Penghu County, Channel 03 on Penghu Cable TV. In Jingmen County, Channel 102 on Mingcheng Cable TV. In Taitung County, Channel 106 on Dongtai Cable TV. In Jiayi County, Channel 97 on Guosheng Cable TV. And in Bozu City, Channel 90 on Dayang Cable TV. In Jiayi City, Channel 97 on CYC CATV Cable Company. In Yunlin County, Channel 108 on Jialian Cable TV. And Channel 108 on Peigang Cable TV. In Tainan County, Channel 106 on Xingyun'an Cable TV. And in Nantou County, Channel 108 on Zhongtou Cable TV.
In Mongolia, in Hoft Province, Channel 21 on Han Alte Cable TV. In Erdenet City, Channel 26 on Elhat Tengger Cable TV. And Channel 50 on Himor Cable TV. In Sukhbatar Zeleng Province, Channel 30 on Mini Mongol. In Darhan Ul Province, Channel 8 on Darhan Broadcasting System. And Channel 44 on Elhat Cable Company. In the capital city of Ulaanbaatar, Channel 47 on Supervision, Channel 65 on Orange Cable Company, Channel 12 on MNBC Television, or Mongolian Digital Broadcasting. And in Bayanzurg in Hanur District, Channel 25 on Himor Cable TV. In Khotor on Channel 21 through the cable provider Gunnarin. In Undurhan City in Henti Province, Channel 23 on Samburt Company. And in Senchan City in Dorongob Province, Channel 25 on Sun Power Company.
In Thailand, in Ratchaburi Province, Channel 71 on Ratchaburi Cable TV. In Germany, in parts of Schleswig-Holstein and Hamburg, on Vinamtel. And in Hamburg, on Vilitel, using channel search for Supreme Master TV. In the Netherlands, in Gouda and the surrounding area, Channel 30 on Recam Cable Network. And in Slovenia, Channel 73 on T2 Slovenia.
Super.
Supremaster Television is also accessible online at www.suprememastertv.com with high-quality video and streaming audio broadcast, as well as live mobile TV streaming on Windows smartphones, iPhones, and Android smartphones. We have subtitles for all shows. Currently, up to 42 languages are available. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles.
In today's news, a cooperation agreement leads to improved medical access for refugees in Lebanon. In good governance news, Australian Greens New South Wales Party seeks greater protection of dogs. In ecology news, the world's largest orchid grows in Brazil. All this and more on Supreme Master Television, your constructive global TV channel.
Today, March 16th, is the birthday of His Excellency Jens Stoltenberg, Prime Minister of Norway, born in Oslo in 1959. Prime Minister Stoltenberg has stated that halting global warming is a priority of his office. He is currently co-chair of the United Nations Secretary General's High-Level Advisory Group on Climate Change Financing. His Excellency has emphasized the importance of forest conservation and funding actions to mitigate climate change in developing nations. Our sincere appreciation, Your Excellency Jens Stoltenberg, for your commitment to safeguarding the planet and ensuring the well-being of others. May you enjoy a blessed birthday, celebrated with loved ones.
Flyer News. World rallies in aid for Japan as crisis deepens. Nearly 1 week after the 9.0 magnitude earthquake and tsunami on March 11, the confirmed death toll has reached 3,373, with at least 15,000 more feared to have perished in the harsh conditions. A massive rescue and cleanup effort is underway, and a glimmer of hope was raised with the miraculous rescue of two people in separate cases, an elderly woman and man from beneath the rubble after 4 days. However, freezing temperatures have set in, with snowfall in the affected northern regions creating potential mudslide risks.
Aid workers have already reported cases of hypothermia and respiratory problems arising from people having inhaled contaminated water during the tsunami, leading to a risk of pneumonia. With some 500,000 people displaced to emergency shelters such as schools, the organisation Save the Children estimates that one-fifth are children, who, along with many elderly, are especially vulnerable. Over 1 million people struggle without clean water, food and electricity as rolling blackouts continue.
Factories in Japan have also been affected, with extensive quake damage causing the nation's largest industry, automobile manufacturing, to be put on hold indefinitely, along with many electronics and steel manufacturing plants. On Tuesday evening, a new earthquake of magnitude 6.4, unrelated to the massive March 11 tremor, jolted Shizuoka Prefecture, just 88 kilometers from Tokyo, where it shook buildings, disrupted rail service, and caused power outages, as well as injuries to at least two people. Meanwhile, as concerns about increasing radiation levels at the Fukushima Daiichi plant continue to mount, the nuclear crisis has been identified as not only the worst in Japan since the horrific atomic bombing in 1945, but also the most serious to emerge since the 1986 Chernobyl tragedy. Both of these historic events had enormously fatal consequences as well as long-term harmful effects to human health, following 3 reactor explosions and a fire in a 4th reactor at the Fukushima plant. Prime Minister Naoto Kan addressed the nation via television, saying that the radiation levels were very high, as he also warned that more radiation could escape.
On Tuesday, the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, said that Japan had reported radioactivity being released directly into the atmosphere through 2 large puncture holes created by a blast occurring before the fire in No. 4 reactor. The IAEA also raised its evaluation of the Fukushima emergency to a level 6, which is higher than the 1979 Three Mile Island partial meltdown in the US. Before and after Tuesday's explosion of the No. 2 reactor, radiation levels at the Fukushima plant increased, with readings 470 times higher than normal 40 kilometers to the south in Iwaki City, though these later dropped. Also that morning, radiation levels of 400 millisieverts an hour had been detected around the No. 4 reactor, a level that could harm human health. The exposure limit for a nuclear industry employee is 20 millisieverts for an entire year. By the afternoon, officials stated that radiation measurements had decreased to levels that did not threaten human health. However, people within 20 kilometers of the plant were advised to leave immediately, and anyone within 30 kilometers was urged to remain indoors. A 30-kilometer no-fly zone around the site was also imposed, and the power company stated that it had considered pouring water in through the blast holes of the No. 4 reactor via helicopter as another avenue to cool it, but later found that this would not be feasible.
In an effort to assist, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has sent another 8 nuclear experts to join 2 already in Japan. South Korea and Russia were meanwhile placed on high alert for potential radiation poisoning from Japan, and in Vladivostok of Russia's Far East, 800 kilometers northwest of the nuclear plants, slightly higher radiation levels were detected on Tuesday, although they remained within normal limits. On the far eastern Sakhalin Island, home to 500,000 Russians, residents and officials have been bracing for the worst. Residents speaking to RT News Agency journalists said they fear that the Japanese officials may be downplaying the danger and that a radioactive cloud, similar to the Chernobyl disaster, could be released, in which case it would reach them in one day with westward wind. On Tuesday, Russia's Prime Minister Vladimir Putin ordered a review of Russia's own future nuclear plans and for officials to check Russian nuclear facilities. Tokyo's municipal government also reported levels twice the normal limit, but still low enough not to pose a health threat. However, fears of a serious radiation leak has prompted many foreign visitors to return home, as the French, German, and Swiss embassies advise the citizens to leave the country. In the United States, Californian officials on the nation's west coast have also been closely monitoring the situation.
With the disabled nuclear plants also causing immense energy shortages and periodic blackouts, many Tokyo residents panicked, emptying supermarket shelves to stock up on essential items.
Indeed, experts warn that the psychological trauma that plagues the Japanese people could be even more harmful than any physical health risks from the plants, as survivors now say they fear potential radiation more than a tsunami.
Japanese Agriculture Minister Michihiko Kano appealed to Co's citizens, asking them to stay calm and buy only what is needed, given the limited supplies and lack of food in the devastated areas. In hard-hit Sendai, lines for rationed gasoline were half a mile long, with eight-hour-long waits sometimes ending in futility. Japanese and international rescuers have also been unable to reach many of the 24,000 still stranded in the most shattered regions, as vehicles stand ready with essential supplies but have no fuel to travel. The Japanese government has asked oil wholesalers and industry organizations to aid the humanitarian missions by selling their inventories of gasoline, batteries, and flashlights. The government is also sending blankets, water, food, and diapers to the most devastated areas.
Currently, about 500 urban search and rescue medical and relief personnel, along with 30 rescue dogs from across the globe, have arrived in Japan to help. A relief team from Hungary was among the newest to arrive, with dogs and high technology equipment, while many more teams from other countries are ready on standby. Even countries themselves affected by disasters or political difficulties have offered aid and support, including New Zealand, Afghanistan, Pakistan, 17 Latin American nations, including Bolivia, Honduras, and Brazil, and African states such as Morocco, Djibouti, South Africa, and Tunisia. Moreover, during a group of 8 nations meeting on Monday, government ministers joined together in offering full assistance and solidarity for Japan. The World Bank and Save the Children are also among the international organizations pledging support.
While also expressing her heartfelt gratitude for the international aid, Supreme Master Ching Hai had immediately pledged a $20,000 donation, along with her sorrowful prayers, asking our association members to go bring comfort and assistance to the desperately afflicted. Our association's relief teams from Japan and Formosa or Taiwan are joining efforts to deliver aid in the areas most in need.
With thanks to all from around the world, we are also grateful for Supreme Master Ching Hai's unconditional help and love to the Japanese people at this time. We send our sympathies and prayers for their safety, as well as the minimizing of such extreme events, through heaven's grace and humanity's kinder ways.
Supreme Master Ching Hai wants to convey this message of gratitude to all governments, organizations, and relief workers from every corner of the world. Thank you, all the international and national help that brings care and necessities to afflicted victims. Thank you, all the relief workers, for taking time and forsaking your own comfort, even traveling great distance on unfavorable roads and conditions to bring love and assistance to people in time of need. May heaven bless you abundantly for your generosity and noble sacrifice.
The whales are our evolutionary leaders. So they're completely aware and completely compassionate about the human condition and our existence and our struggle with our minds and also our ignorance, the things we do out of ignorance. To be with the whales is like being with the greatest incarnation of the divine on this planet. They hold the greatest love.
Japan's nuclear disaster sparks global debate over the safety. As a series of nuclear accidents in the wake of last Friday's 9.0 earthquake in Japan have caused radiation levels high enough to affect human health, many people across the globe recall the 1986 nuclear disaster in Chernobyl, Ukraine, which was the worst in history. With 57 nuclear accidents that have occurred since then, two-thirds of which have been in the US, citizens and government officials alike are raising questions about the safety of nuclear energy. Over the past few days, protesters and activists have voiced concerns over existing nuclear power plants in countries such as Turkey, South Africa, Formosa or Taiwan, Australia, France and Germany, where tens of thousands of people who have already been protesting nuclear energy's use are also purchasing Geiger counters which can measure radiation levels.
Some governments have responded swiftly, as in Switzerland, where plans to build and expand nuclear facilities have been halted, and Germany, where 7 aging reactors were switched off, one of them permanently. On Tuesday, France's Foreign Minister, Alain Juppé, warned that the risk is extremely high in Japan, as the French government ordered nuclear safety checks on each of its own 58 nuclear reactors. A growing number of countries have also pledged to investigate the appropriateness of current nuclear programs as they implement measures to monitor citizen safety, including the United Kingdom, Germany, India and Finland. Meanwhile, at an emergency meeting on Tuesday, European Union ministers unanimously agreed to the testing of all European nuclear power plants to determine their ability to withstand the stress of a disaster such as the one that just occurred in Japan.
US legislators, including Senator Joseph Lieberman, who has been a nuclear energy supporter in the past, are now urging for a slowing of plans to implement nuclear energy, while Senator John Kerry has called for caution and a debate on whether it should even be used.
One of the challenges when you have a major catastrophe like this is to learn the lessons that it teaches. Certainly in the United States, they're rethinking their processes now. They don't want to become another Japan in that sense.
We thank all advocates, dignitaries and governments for your re-evaluation of the potential harms of nuclear energy, especially at this perilous time. As we pray for the protection of the people of Japan and all those who might be affected, may we soon greet a world where safe and sustainable energy sources are the norm. Citizens' voices heard across the globe. Protests continue in many countries for government reforms that include improved living conditions, more jobs and greater freedoms, including Bahrain, Yemen, Morocco, Hong Kong, Burkina Faso, Egypt, Côte d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, Tunisia, USA, Palestine and Jordan. In Hong Kong, citizens held a rally at the Chinese liaison office where they called for the release of a political prisoner.
In Yemen, Press TV reported that dozens of chiefs from the Baqil tribe joined the protesters pledging to uphold their rights, along with two high-ranking officials, eight military officers and Deputy Minister of Development and International Cooperation, Mohammed Al-Hawiri. The nation's clerics, meanwhile, warned against the government's excessive use of force. The government of Burkina Faso also closed down universities after students continued to protest the death of a fellow student who had been detained in police custody. In Morocco, despite the king announcing constitutional reforms that would be introduced in June, hundreds of people attended rallies in Casablanca on Sunday, with dozens injured the next day as security personnel attempted to shut down the demonstrations. In Libya, where many towns and cities once claimed by the pro-democracy protesters have been overtaken by government forces making use of military aircraft and tanks, fears are rising over reprisals that would be likely should the government resume control of the regions.
One such town is Ajdabaya, where government forces have been carrying out airstrikes this week, resulting in one death, according to Press TV. Meanwhile, near the town of Brega, another where government forces are trying to gain control, a German writer who is also a former member of parliament reported to the BBC that he was overtaken on the road by five vehicles fleeing attack, whose passengers and drivers, including women and children, he later found all perished from an apparent ground attack. The writer stated that his own vehicle came under attack as well, leading to the death of his driver, after which he and other passengers walked across the desert for 7 hours to reach safety.
While the US and Lebanon have joined in support of the Arab League's no-fly zone proposal, countries like Russia continue to consider such an option. Meanwhile, the UN Human Rights Office has called for the international community to act quickly in protecting civilians from harm as government forces, which are being investigated by the International Criminal Court for Crimes Against Humanity, continue to advance against the protesters.
Recent humanitarian gestures to aid the Libyan people and fleeing refugees include a joint mission organized by the United Arab Emirates and Turkey, with two ships delivering $4 million in assistance to Benghazi, with a mobile bakery capable of producing 10,000 loaves of bread per day. The United Arab Emirates has also sent medical equipment to assist those crossing the border into Tunisia.
In Bahrain, following 3 weeks of peaceful protests by pro-democracy demonstrators that have been met by government violence and the arrival of military forces and police from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, at the request of the Bahraini government, King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa declared a 3-month state of martial law in which the nation's security forces have been authorized to exercise levels of force they deem necessary. As demonstrations continue, the escalated violence has prompted the U.S. government to issue a travel advisory urging citizens to leave the country, while Parliament member Nada Hafad resigned in protest of the government's excessive violence, which according to Press TV includes troops preventing ambulances from bringing injured protesters to hospitals and attacks upon doctors themselves.
Following November 2010 disputed presidential election results in Côte d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, conflict has escalated to humanitarian emergency proportion, according to the International Rescue Committee, or IRC. In an effort to avert civil war, democratically elected Alassane Ouattara is offering to form a unity government with incumbent president Laurent Gbagbo after he refused to step down from office. With some 450,000 Ivorians who have fled the capital Abidjan and surrounding areas, the IRC, partner organizations, and host villages in Côte d'Ivoire and neighboring Liberia are working to provide the asylum seekers with adequate food, shelter, and health care to the vulnerable populations.
Al Jazeera reports that around 500 people in Al Jarrah and other cities in Kuwait marching peacefully in repeated calls for citizenship were dispersed with tear gas by police. These demonstrations followed ones the previous month when around 100,000 stateless people had sat in protest for 3 consecutive days, stopping only after receiving assurances from the government that their demands would be met. However, the parliament later refused to debate a proposed bill that would have granted the stateless civil rights.
Among the countries making progress in addressing citizens' needs is Egypt, where the Ministry of Labor announced the new laws on labor rights that would soon be put in place, as well as unemployment aid and a minimum wage. Also in Mozambique, the government increased food budgets and fuel subsidies. In addition, Jordan announced a 53-member national dialogue committee to discuss reforms, while China affirmed plans for gradual political change.
In response to protesters who have been demanding an end to corruption, as well as improvements in their economic situation and greater political representation, Omani Sultan Qaboos bin Zayed has made a number of concessions, including replacement of the chief of police and a decree granting the formerly powerless Oman Council both legislative and regulative powers. With sympathies for the loss of precious life, we pray for an end to the conflict in all countries and that shared dignity, freedom, and peace prevails among citizens across the globe.
Niger welcomes new president. Following elections conducted on Saturday, March 12th, Social Democratic Party leader Mahamadou Issoufou emerged with 58% of the votes, securing his role as the new president of Niger. With these electoral polls representing the country's successful transition from military to democratic rule as specified in the new constitution, outgoing government leader General Salu Djibo stated before he cast his vote, "If we can hold a successful election, then together we will have accomplished bringing about a democracy that can serve as an example to Africa." Addressing the public after his win, President-elect Issoufou said, "I am humbled by the confidence that Nigerians have placed in me. I will build a Niger of human rights, a country that wins and that develops." Our respectful congratulations, President-elect Issoufou, on your new role. May your leadership further the harmony, prosperity, and stability of the gracious people of Niger.
Save our planet. Flood and water catastrophes loom ahead. Global experts say that devastating floods on the scale of the recent catastrophes in Pakistan and Australia, and which used to occur only once every 100 years, are now expected to be as frequent as every 20 years. The warning came at an international conference hosted by Canadian Water Network, or CWN, with 300 international scientists, policymakers, and economists in attendance. CWN Executive Director Bernadette Conant used as an example the town of Smithers in British Columbia, which has suffered from 3 major floods in just the past 2 decades. Global researchers estimate that climate change coupled with increased population will result in demand for water exceeding supply by 40%, leaving one-third of humanity with only half the water required for basic needs and also affecting food production.
Dr. Safar Adil, chair of the UN Water Agency, which coordinates the efforts of 28 United Nations agencies focused on global water issues, warned climate change will affect societies and ecosystems most profoundly through the medium of water, but there is no other way to generalize the crises ahead. At unpredictable times, too much water will arrive in some places and too little in others.
Our appreciative thanks, Mr. Adil, Executive Director Conant, other scientists and organizations for highlighting this real and urgent issue of our time. May we quicken our pace to halt climate change and return the planet to her verdant beauty with sufficient water resources for all.
During a video message for a June 2009 climate change conference in Mexico, Supreme Master Cheng Hai addressed the severe water and related crises facing the planet, along with the actions needed to prevent them.
You see, our current course of climate change is worse than the worst-case scenario projected by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. With the damaging and often fatal effects already being seen through such extreme events as hurricanes, flooding, droughts, and heat waves, we now can see how imperative it is to stop the warming of the planet with the greenness of all green policies and actions. The most compassionate, the most heroic, the most life-saving action, that is, the vegan diet. Organic vegan, to be exact. It is the long-term insurance against climate change. Adopting a plant-based diet can halt as much as 80% of global warming, eradicate world hunger, stop war, promote peace. And it will free up the earth's water, as well as many other precious resources, offering a lifeline for the planet and for humanity.
Save our planet. A recent UN report states that farmers in developing nations could double food production within 10 years and safeguard their farms from climate change effects by replacing chemical fertilizers and pesticides with sustainable organic agriculture methods instead.
Pomash.
Hi everyone, I'm Hallie. We're two of the stars of Supreme Master Ching Hai's number one international bestseller, The Dogs in My Life. And we are very happy about being planet protecting vegans. Today, we have a tip on the aromatic spice, cinnamon.
Besides enhancing the flavor of so many foods and drinks, it also has health benefits. Scandinavian researchers found that taking approximately half a teaspoon of cinnamon per day lowered blood sugar levels after eating a meal.
This is considered significant in terms of supporting well-being and weight reduction.
Thank you for watching, and thank you for being veg and going green to save the planet.
Now, the weather around the world.
In humanitarian news, the United Nations and Lebanon collaborate to improve medical access for refugees in the country. Supported by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees and Lebanon's Health Ministry, an agreement will permit affordable treatments at 4 state hospitals. The plan has already benefited Hussein, a 20-year-old displaced person from Iraq who was able to have surgery to save his injured legs. Our gratitude, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and Lebanon's Health Ministry, for your commitment to the well-being of many cherished children of God. We pray all receive the care needed for vibrant and happy lives.
In good governance news, the Australian Greens New South Wales Party seeks greater protection of dogs. To help prevent puppy factories, Greens New South Wales Member of Parliament, the Honourable Kate Fairman, called for a ban on the sale of dogs in pet shops and markets in the state. She emphasised that the decision to adopt an animal companion should be a thoughtful one. Kudos the Honourable Kate Fairman and Greens New South Wales for your commitment to safeguarding our precious canine friends. May all governments help ensure that every animal co-inhabitant's sacred life is honoured and respected. Up next on Noteworthy News, the world's largest orchid has 400 blooming flowers. We'll take a moment in prayer for the happiness of all beings. More foresighted news when we return, here on Supreme Master Television.
Welcome back to Noteworthy News, forward-looking news for a progressive world. In ecology news, the world's largest orchid grows in Brazil, the five-year-old flower known as the tiger orchid due to its colouring of yellow with brown spots, was displayed at the Brazilian Orchids Project Garden in Brasilia, the capital of the nation. This flowering beauty measures 2.5 metres tall, with some stems as long as 3 metres. Upon its 19 stems are 400 blooming flowers. The award-winning head of Brazilian Institute of Environmental and Natural Resources biologist, Miss Lo Menezes, has grown the native Malaysian orchid to adapt to the dry climate of Brasilia. Our many thanks, Miss Lo Menezes, for cultivating this precious and unique flower. May we continue to have many opportunities to admire the amazing splendours of nature on a gentle and sustainable earth.
And now for some laughter with a joke told in Polish, entitled Relatively Speaking.
Piotr znany jest z powolnego mówienia. Któregoś dnia do jego domu dzwoni ciocia. Ciocia. Halo. Głos. Mówi Piotr. Ciocia. Cześć Piotrze. Czy twoja mama jest w domu? Głos. Mamy nie ma. Ciocia. A twój tata? Piotr. Tata także jest nieobecny. Ciocia. A twój brat i siostra? Piotr. Są poza domem. Ciocia. Więc jesteś sam w domu? Piotr. Ja także jestem nieobecny. Tu automatyczna sekretarka. Ciocia. Uła.
And now for our viewers' heartline.
Supreme Master Ching Hai, I have been moved by your persistence and your ways to save the planet. So much that I previously loved meat, but now I have given up all meats to do my part in saving the planet. Recently, I have been encouraged to spread eco-friendly knowledge and eventually create eco-friendly options and suggestions so that individuals will choose and experience for themselves. I would love to help your cause in any way that I can. Thank you for your time and your devotion to life. Jose from Maryland, USA.
Hi Jose, we are very happy to hear from you. Supreme Master Ching Hai has a reply for you.
Earth-loving Jose, thank you so much for your wonderful news. Sharing information with as many individuals as possible about the organic vegan solution to global warming is the best way to help our precious fellow humans, beautiful animal friends, and life-sustaining Earth. Please download free of charge anything that can help you at www.suprememastertv.com/SOS. May heaven bless you and the compassionate people of the great United States. Love, love, Ching Hai.
Do you have a heartline today? Please share your comments and uplifting stories from your area of the globe with us. You can send them to heartline@suprememastertv.com, the address on your screen, or visit www.suprememastertv.com/heartline. We sure have enjoyed spending time with you on Noteworthy News.
May the eternal love of the Providence be your treasured companion.
The world is full of good news.
The following are just a few.
At the first ever Economic Cooperation Organization, or ECO Summit, held in Kabul, Afghanistan, member states discussed ways to expand cultural cooperation.
Tomi Otake Institute in Sao Paulo, Brazil, hosts a contemporary Islamic art exhibit titled Mirage, featuring artists' works from Algeria, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Morocco, Palestine, Syria, and Turkey.
Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono urges his government toward greater access to the justice system for disadvantaged citizens by offering mobile trials to reach rural areas, as well as free consultations, legal aid and court cases.
In meeting with a representative of the United Nations Secretary General, Sudan's second Vice President Ali Osman Mohammed Daha renews the country's commitment to complete all items of the nation's 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement.
A team of researchers from US-based Michigan State University finds that people who have dog companions and walk them regularly tend to be healthier and even more physically active overall.
Russian President Dmitry Medvedev signs into law an accord with Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan for the establishment of a Central Asian anti-drug center in Kazakhstan to coordinate efforts against drug trafficking.
Seeing 10 ducklings that were stranded in the middle of a road, Florida, USA, police officer Glenn Epler and an unnamed Good Samaritan help guide them to safety, where they are reunited with their mother duck.
We thank all the reporters, journalists, photographers, camera persons, individuals, groups, companies, everywhere in the world, for all your contributions of news that bring hope to humans and animals, thus uplifting the atmosphere of our planet. May heaven bless your noble endeavors and protect you always, especially while on duty.
For more details,
please visit www.suprememastertv.com/NWN.